Let's review. Roger, overall, let's review what we've just done. You know, we always have to ask ourselves, you know, it's a bit like, you know, to be honest, it's a bit like after sex, you know. How was it for you, Roger?
Let me just take a puff of my cigarette, Paul, and, well, the earth moved. No, I enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed it because we're sitting by a roaring fire, which is fantastic. I enjoyed it because I thought it was interesting. It seemed to flow very nicely. I really enjoyed it. How about you? How did you experience it today? I know you've got your mind on other things, and we'll talk about those other things, so I think we should.
I tell you what, I think I'll remember it for there being a few complete leaps off into a direction which was... neither of us knew where this was going. I think most of all I'll remember it for the silence. I'll remember it because of the discussion about ellipsis, you know, and without wanting to spoil the thing, is I actually think the stuff about silence is quite interesting and it has got legs, right? So I think we could actually... We could well come back to the issue of silence in the future.
Sorry, that's nagging on the inside. I
think that's probably this particular podcast for me will John Cage came into it too. The other thing was that I thought Chris Brogan's email was just almost too full of stuff this week.
There was a lot of stuff.
I mean,
stuff
it
in
really
it?
Was. Now, okay, in fairness to Chris, he's absolutely developed a rapport with his audience, and we're audience, or his community, in which we're all grown up people who are perfectly capable of saying, I've read enough for now, I'm going to read no more. I'll come back to reading the second half of the email later, right? And in a way, he creates an object of value which has legs. In other words, you don't have to... Have you been to the Rijksmuseum recently?
Not recently, no.
You know that wonderful painting by Rembrandt?
The Night Watch.
The Night Watch, right?
Yes.
Now, do you remember the first time you actually stood in front of the Night Watch? How overwhelmed were you by the Night Watch when you saw it first?
I don't remember. I have seen it. I have stood in front of it. But I don't remember. See, it has such a reputation that when you see it, it's almost you're in awe of the fact that you're seeing the real thing. It's a bit like the Guernica. It is a bit like, and I have had the opposite experience to what most people tell me that they've had when they see the Mona Lisa. I was in awe of the Mona Lisa, and people tell me it's the most disappointing painting they've ever seen. I was absolutely...
When you got to see it?
When I got to see it.
Right.
But coming back to your question about the Night Watch, no, I can't. No.
When I saw the Night Watch, that's why I put it to you, really, because I think I was completely overwhelmed. There was just so many people in it, right? Mm. And every face was there to be looked at, and the way in which Rembrandt was capable of painting different faces. Now, okay, he's a great, great painter. You'd expect him to do good stuff, right? But I thought to myself, there's eating and drinking in this painting, right? This is, you know, I can revisit it.
Yes.
So there was eating and drinking in this week's email from Chris Brogan. And, you know, you also mentioned Guernica there. And when I actually, as you were starting to talk, I was starting also to think of it. What other painting would I put up there as having, you know, sufficient richness to be overwhelming the first time you read it?
That's a good question. I mean, we were talking about two very large paintings here as well. I mean, the Mona Lisa is very small, but so that helps with the being awed, I suppose.
The trouble with the Mona Lisa is, you see, that you don't get to see it, you know, by yourself. There's always so many people standing around it that you get a glimpse of it. So you have to go away and come back and stick your head through the people to watch it again.
I was lucky. The group of people I was surrounded by were Japanese tourists, so I was a good foot taller than they were, so I had a perfectly good view.
Wow. The benefits of touring Europe with the Japanese, right? Now that is actually, I've never heard anybody say, join a Japanese tour on their coach going around Europe, especially because from the back... tall as you are, Roger, overall, you will be able to get a good view.
I'm not particularly tall, but yeah, the tip then is when you go to a big museum like that, wait for a Japanese tour group to come in and follow them around.
Well, you have to be careful which part of Japan you're talking about, because there are some Japanese people who are actually quite tall. They come from the northern part, I understand, of Japan. I seem to remember knowing something about that once.
Right.
There are some Japanese people who are actually quite tall.
I am guilty of blatantly continuing a stereotype that is actually not true.
Well, Dutch, I mean, I never stereotype, but Dutch people always stereotype.
Yes, this is, I've told you a million times not to exaggerate, and so on and so forth. Anyway, Paul, today is a special day. Come on, tell us, because finally, we can let the cat out of the bag.
Well, I can actually, because we won't put up this podcast until after the name of our new company, not yours and mine,
no,
but me and Jonathan Arm's new company, will be in the public arena.
Isn't it interesting? Right? Didn't you say that somebody thought that you and I were setting up?
Well, John McCarthy, the owner and of Cafe Beva in Glenmire, said to me, "Are you and Roger Overall going into business together?"
No.
Well, in a kind of way, we are actually. We're already in business together. But
yes,
this
we're collaborating.
Okay, the name of the new company is Change Agents. Change Agents.
And what's Change Agents going to do? In a nutshell, I am your ideal client. We're in a lift. You have your pitch ready.
Well, it's going to get the story of your business straightened out. Straight. We're going to do business branding for you from the inside out. In other words, we're going to go right to the core of your business, work with you on the clarity of what your business is all about, why it exists, what its style, its personality, its tone, its colour, you know, what distinguishes it from any other business, and then we're going to work with you on how that can be realized in your products and services in such a way, and this is the crucial thing, that two things will happen. First of all, people will come to love your business more than they do at present, and secondly, that they'll actually do more business with you and thereby help your business to do three things: to survive, to thrive, and I forget what the third one is. It's all about love.
Great. That's fantastic. And here's a Paul O'Mahony question coming at you. I run an abattoir, and I slaughter 10,000 intensively farmed pigs every day in the most horrific manner possible, and they go out of the world screaming and in panic. Can you help me be loved? Am I your target audience? Who is your target
audience? Well, I know some companies that would take you on, provided you have the money, Roger.
Okay.
So I've no difficulty of saying, and we probably will put on our website, when the full All Singing, All Dancing website comes through, we'll probably put up the names of our best competitors, so that you can go off to them with your money. We, on the other hand, have very clear values. And we won't take you on, actually. I'm sorry, you know. But there are others who will take you on, Roger. So you can take your screaming animals to another person, and good luck, right? We're not here to condemn you, but we're here to say that you're not our ideal client.
Who is your ideal client?
Our ideal client is somebody who actually is very ambitious and is doing something noble, which will change the world for the better. And they are dissatisfied with their current business. We're probably going to major at the beginning on two or three sectors where we have credibility and contacts. And I won't reveal those today, right? But we have done a lot of work in the background to identify who our ideal sectors are. But more importantly, we put work into who our ideal clients are. What the personality and behavior patterns of the people we want to spend our time with, for a simple reason, right? We're human. We do our best work in the company of certain types of people in certain types of situations, right? We love hard work, right? But we don't love hard work with people who are too hard to work with.
Hmm.
We are collaborators, right? We're not prepared to work with people who set us up to fail. We want to only succeed. We want our clients to succeed. And however we'll do it as we go forward, we will have we will use increasingly the idea that we want clients who are ideal, not just good and have money, but ones who are actually fit with the kind of people who help us to do our best creative work. We'll work with ideal suppliers. We'll work with ideal collaborators. You are an ideal collaborator for me. I've checked you out, and I actually have decided that you meet all of my ideal. You just don't tick some of the boxes. You tick all of the boxes.
The podcast has been my interview process.
Exactly. Well, whatever. No. You've been interviewed from the first day I met you, right? It goes way, way back, right? You know, and it's not by what you say that I judge you. It's by how you treat other people, the way you relate to other people. I've watched you working with other people. I use that as a criterion. It's not just my personal reaction to you. It's other people's reaction to you, your reaction, the kind of people you're attracted to, you know, who are your heroes. If I discover your heroes are people who scare the living daylights out of me, then I'm going to be a little bit cautious, you know. But I like some of your heroes, like Doug Menuez, super guy. I have adopted him as my hero, even though I've never met him, and I know precious nothing about documentary photography, right?
And didn't I do the same? Didn't I adopt one of your heroes as mine?
There you are. Name that person.
Chris Brogan.
There you are. Actually, a small point, Roger. Well, we've set up this business, right? Me and Jonathan Arm, and it's called Change Agents, right? And it will be a .ie, right? And all that. And but there's something about you that I want to bring in. You are already, I'm going to say, in our ecosystem, right? Okay. In more than that, right? Okay. You are actually doing a piece of parallel work. I mean, you're not an employee, and you're not even a paid supplier, actually.
Oh, no.
You've been given unrivaled access to our company. Speak about that in your own words.
Unrivaled access to your company. Unrivaled access to your bank accounts. I'm going to empty them. No, I'm going to photograph and document the first year in the life of Change Agents. It's my plan. As best we can possibly manage together to do that. That's the plan.
And why are you going to do that? Tell me why you're going to do
it's
it.
An intrigue.
I know why I want you to do it.
Well,
it
intrigues me. I want to do a project that is difficult. And you don't make anything tangible. You realise other people's potential and you help them. That's a very intangible thing. So to photograph that, to provide a visual for that, is a challenging thing. And and it's also, having stopped photographing weddings where I had blanket access all areas, I need something to keep the muscle flexing, if you like. I know you guys very well. You've generously let me in. Jonathan is taking something of a leap of faith because he doesn't know me a fraction as well as you do. Tanya knows me reasonably well and trust me reasonably well as well, so I have a decent amount of access, and that's enjoyable, and we'll see where it goes. But it's the challenge, and it's the I also hope it's useful to you.
Well, one of the things that I am very committed to is creating opportunities for other people to work alongside us in such a way that they do their very best work. In other words, for example, I want to work with great designers, but I don't want to tell them what designs to produce, right? I want to tell them what we stand for, you know, what we're hoping to achieve, and then say, you're a designer, design me colours, typography, shapes that will realise this in the imagination of other people.
Are you building a community rather than a paid staff, rather than personnel? Are you building a community of suppliers around your business because you're attracting people?
Fully intend to hire people at some point. Right. Fully intend to build a business which I've got people who will be paid in it. But also intend to create opportunities for people to work alongside us who, you know, will be... I mean, which way the money gets into their pocket is can be a complicated matter, and, you know, may be revealed to nobody, if you like, right? Because as far as the client is concerned, they simply want to... Our
company to do a piece of work for them.
But I'm just thinking, you're bringing these people into your sphere, and they're going to be meeting each other and talking to each other, and they're, you know, you don't know what's going to come out of that. That just as side efforts, even.
I hope I don't know what's going to come out of it, because actually I'm strongly a collaborative. I'm also, we are an adventurous brand, and it's just an adventure. It's a journey. There's a lot of uncertainty about what will happen. I mean, there's a huge amount of clarity. We have done a lot of work on being clear that we have a cause, we have standards, we know when we'll be able to feel that we are successful. We're open to surprises and all that. You know, we've done a lot of thinking about what kind of people are we. And the main thing is we've actually produced a design. We've designed a business which is an expression of who we are. I mean, we are change agents by track record and disposition.
So what you've done for yourselves is what you're helping... You're hoping to help other people achieve.
Yes.
Design a business around who they are.
Yeah, I'll tell you a small story. I went to a hairdresser during the week to have a haircut, right? And she was telling me that next door to her business was a woman who was doing facials, you know, all that kind of stuff about a beauty therapist, right? And that she had adopted a theme for her business, and it was gardens, right? So I thought, wonderful, that's very coherent. It seems to work very nicely with facials and all that, gardening. I started to think about pure products, no chemicals, natural this, natural that. And then I said to the hairdresser, and this is all secondhand knowledge about the other business, I said to the hairdresser, and tell me, does the person running the business do gardening? Do they love gardening?
Mm.
And to my extraordinary, huge disappointment, the answer was no. And I thought, oh God, what a damn bloody terrible thing to have happened. Mm. You have a very good idea, right? And you adopt it as an idea. Instead of it being organically linked with yourself, she can't represent her brand, this other person, because she, if I go into her for a facial and I'm attracted by all this garden of things, and I say to her, you know, something about flowers, you know, I say, you know, do you use peonies in any of your products? And she looks at me as if I don't know what a peony is, right? I'm going to find that business much less engaging. So that's about the coherence between who is the founder, who are the founding people, who are the board, who are at the core of the business, what do they really stand for, what are their values and their personality. If you can organically link that with all the rest of the company, you can create a very engaging entity that will come across to people as being real, honest, sincere, almost as if, you know, somebody meets you and they say to you, Roger, you're just like I thought you'd be, actually. It's such a good feeling.
Which is what you want.
You want people, when they meet you, to say that they almost know you already. As soon as I looked in your window, I could see what kind of a person you were. That's a great feeling when you, as a customer, have your own ability to predict what somebody else is going to be like confirmed. Then you're ready to buy. Then you're looking to...
Well, it helps you as a business also connect with the audience you want to connect with, because you're sending out very strong signals as to who you are, so therefore you're going to attract people who are attracted to those signals, which is what you really wanted to do in the first place. You're helping to weed
out. You're not trying to be all things to all people.
No. Hey, we should stop this one.
Well, you lead us. Finish this audio. I've run out of... I need a little silence, Roger. Leaving you with the sound of a roaring fire.